Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 31st of July 2017 as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. A lot to talk about in these 45 minutes. A couple of announcements I want to make Before the show is over, so you can stay tuned for that. But we begin with the NFL, and as we enter a second week of training camp, we are just basically three days away from the NFL season starting, preseason starting with the with Dallas and Arizona. So this past weekend will be the last weekend up until January that you will go without the NFL, which is always a good thing. Really, you think about the training camps, the only thing that becomes study, I don't get into the contract holdouts because no player, I don't care how much complaining they do, I don't care what demands they make, no player is going to sit out an entire season beyond a contract behind one to make more money. It's just not going to happen. Le'Veon Bell won't do it. Nobody would do it. No player is going to do it. Obviously, you're looking out for injuries. That's the thing in the preseason that you look out for more than anything is major injuries. As far as local with Washington, I feel like this team, will be under the microscope all year long. Obviously, not only in the DMV, but in the national, in the entire country, because of the Kirk Cousins situation and with the contract. And we think that unless they go to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, that Kirk Cousins will not be on the team next year. There's nothing to indicate to me that he will be on this team in 2018. So that will put them under the microscope for the up and coming year nationwide, as well as of course in the local DMV. When you put aside all the garbage, all the nonsense with the organization, with Scott McLuhan, Bruce Allen, and Kirk Cousins, you look at the product on the field, it's a pretty good product. I think this team has some question marks on defense still. We still have to see they can generate a consistent pass rush. We still have to see what the secondary looks like. They made upgrades on the defensive line. They got to keep some guys healthy in secondary. I'm not counting on D'Angelo Hall to play a full season. It's just at this point stage in his career, I can't depend on it. We'll see how the draft picks develop. Offensively, they should have a big year offensively. Despite losing Garcon, despite losing DeSean Jackson, they have enough. Jordan Reed, we're assuming that he's going to be ready for the start of the season. They have enough offensively to make a lot of noise and to score a lot of points. Now, the play calling remains to be seen, but in terms of personnel, they have enough offense. They have enough offensively, above average offensive line. We know the offensive line is legit, top 10, maybe even higher offensive line. So, again, when you put aside all the noise and everything that would have transpired in the offseason, this team should be right in the heart of playoff contention. Now, I think the Giants are the class of the NFC East, but the Giants are not going to run away and hide. Dallas is not going to run away and hide. Okay, so those teams are not going to. I have to see more out of Philadelphia before I know what they're all about. But again, Washington should be right in the midst of a playoff berth. Again, they could be an 8, and I'll say, you know, what I thought about them coming in the 2016 season. They should be somewhere between 8-8 and 10-6. So, again, we'll see what happens. I'm glad the training camp started. You know, again, you're still going to hear about the Kirk Cousins, and that's going to be ongoing throughout the course of the season. It's going to be ongoing until he signs somewhere else, or until Washington resigns him, if they resign him, and when he signs with another team next March in free agency. So that's going to be talked about, you know, repeatedly. But you'll notice that it will calm down once, you know, Washington gets on the field as far as their first preseason game. As you know, we get into things, stuff like roster cuts, you know, minor injuries, hopefully no injuries, things, position battles, things like that will kind of take the microscope off the Kirk Cousins saga. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Geraldine Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Geraldine Sports Podcast. A couple of newsworthy items of note. One, we got a couple of contenders landing pitchers in terms of the trade deadline. The Dodgers and the Yankees, who are both eyeing October and November as far as their postseason hopes. The Dodgers getting Yu Darvish, the Yankees landing Sonny Gray. The Yu Darvish, without question, is a move that's being made just in case Clayton Kershaw is not Clayton Kershaw and can't, you know, will not be able to stay healthy or gets hurt again. He's gonna come back. It's just a matter of will he be able to finish the season? How effective will he be in the postseason? That basically, you know, you want to call it Clayton Kershaw insurance. And plus, Darvish is also a pretty good pitcher. He's been, you know, you thought at the beginning of his career that he had a chance to be possibly an ace. Didn't work out that way, but he's still to me an above average pitcher. 31 years old, should benefit from that ballpark, National League West. I mean, that ballpark, National League, so should benefit from that standpoint. Sonny Gray going to the Yankees. I don't understand how anybody, the Reds, let alone the Red Sox, can complain about, you know, Sonny Gray going to the Yankees. I mean, look, the Red Sox, how much money has Boston spent on players in the past, you know, 3 or 4 years? I mean, give me a break. I want to hear from Boston complaining about the Yankees and Evil Empire and Super Team and all this nonsense. Yankees, give the Yankees credit for stocking their farm system to a point to where they can make this move. The Yankees obviously are, you know, right now are in first place, I have to believe a half game ahead of Boston. So this is, again, Sonny Gray has been a good pitcher on a bad team for the last couple of years. I know you're struggling this year, but that doesn't, you know, you get a guy, they, you get a chance to get a guy of his caliber, you have to make the move. especially if you're the Yankees, you can never have enough starting pitching in baseball. You just never have enough of that. So you see those two teams making big moves as they look toward, again, eye towards a postseason berth. Both of them are going to, the Dodgers are going to the postseason. It's just a matter of, can the Dodgers get over the hump and get to the World Series? I mean, we know they're going to the postseason. Yankees are, again, half game up on Baltimore. They, of course, they're looking pretty good to make it to the postseason in their own right as either a division winner or possibly even a wild card team. The Olympics is set basically to go to L.A. in 2028 and Paris in 2024. If you're in L.A., it's been a long time since the Olympics, United States hosted the Summer Olympics. You got to go all the way back to 1996, and you have to go back to to 2002. Since the U.S. has hosted any Olympics at all, they hosted the Winter Olympics in 2002. A lot of talk about, is it worth it for these cities? You heard about these cities in the prior two or three Summer Olympics, losing money, and after the Olympics has come and gone. Remember, 2028. It's not around the corner. That's a long time. 11 years in the way the world moves, as fast paced as the world moves, is a long time. And, Yahoo had an article about it, and they made a pretty good point about, are people even going to be watching the Olympics in 2028? Like, seriously, I don't remember last summer, 2016, the Olympics being a big deal, to be honest with you. I just, considering, people are vacationing, there are a million things to watch on television. I'm not sure, is it worth it for a city to go out there and put forth the effort and everything that has to go into hosting the Olympics with the venues and, the facilities? And I think, there's no city in the country that is better equipped as far as infrastructure and space as Los Angeles. Like, that'll be, traveling. We know there's traffic, but in just terms of being able to get around, in terms of where they can place the venues, there's no city better equipped in the country than Los Angeles. So that's not even an issue from that standpoint. But if you're Los Angeles, again, you've had some financial issues over the last five to 10 years. That was a thought in this process. But apparently, it's not going to sway them from not hosting the Olympics again. 2028 is not around the corner. That's still 11 years away. 11 years away, and again, I don't see interest. People gaining the Olympics, gaining interest. I see it as the East Olympics has passed from 2008, 2012, 2016. People, to me, are losing interest in the Olympics. And you'll watch certain events, but there was a time, I would say in the 80s and especially in the 90s, where it was. The Olympics was must-see TV television. The ratings were great. You had signature athletes up and across the board who you couldn't take your eye off. Michael Jackson, Michael Johnson, and so on. Again, you've had some of that over the past couple of Olympics. We've got like Usain Bolt and a Michael Phelps. But I just got the sense that people just don't care about the Olympics the way they once did. Over the course of the past, 10 to 12, 2 to 3 Olympics. So we'll see what happens. Again, in terms of, like I said, infrastructure, in terms of hosting our Olympics, Los Angeles is absolutely the perfect city in order to do so. And Paris as well. I mean, again, Paris, a lot of space. a lot of people love Paris, probably one of the most popular cities in the world. So that won't be an issue for, I'm sure that's not going to be an issue for them. But as far as for America, as far as for Los Angeles, we'll see what happens to that. And so as far as just the money situation, the financial situation, and all the pressure that comes with hosting the Olympic Games. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, they keep coming at the king. We'll talk about the butt of a guy who has become the butt of a lot of jokes and why that is. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Stuart Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Is the call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. 46 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour, as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, still to come on the program. We'll have a big announcement, and we'll also get into a little power. Very eventful episode last night, or Sunday morning, whenever you chose to watch it. Again, there are Power fans who, 12:01 are waiting at 12:01 to watch the show as it is available during that time on demand or on the Stars app in terms of watching. So we'll talk about that. But LeBron James just can't stay out the headlines, and I think he likes it. But this is kind of attention that I'm not sure he's going to be crazy about. There were three occurrences from Friday on that involved LeBron James. First, it was him basically almost losing his mind during an AAU game when he's coaching his kid. And I'm going to tell you right now, I love basketball. I don't have any kids. But if I ever had kids, I'm not coaching my son or daughter. I just think you got to just let your kids breathe. I think you got to let them breathe. I don't care if you're LeBron James or if you're, Eric James. The idea of coaching your son or daughter in competition is one thing, coaching them privately, if that's your line of expertise, if you had some basketball some type of expertise in that particular sport, the Richard Williamses of the world, there will never be another Richard Williams as far as how he went about coaching his daughters and the Williams sisters turned out to be who they are. That will never happen again. And I'm confident with that statement. So that, and even Richard Williams was smart enough at certain point to say, I can only take you so far. Let me go get some real coaches who are actual tennis experts. So he coaches his son. They get the score wrong, or it was a clock. It was either the score or a clock issue. I believe it was a score issue. And he runs out on the court like a madman. That was number one. The second occurrence game, he had no control over. Well, maybe he had a little control. So Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry, and maybe a couple other guys or other NBA players that maybe that we didn't recognize, were at Harrison Barnes' wedding. And you see Again, this is all over YouTube, it's all over Twitter. You're being impossible not to find. You see Steph Curry basically mocking LeBron's, Jane Fonda impression in terms of his workouts, which LeBron, again, LeBron does this to himself because he's the only guy that of note that basically of his stature that, wants to put himself on television every 5 seconds. So he takes pictures of himself working out, not to just because we wouldn't know that he doesn't. We would have no idea that he actually works out. We can't look at him 6'8", 6'9", 270 pounds of muscle and think like, man, he just wakes up and, drinks a protein shake and goes about his business. Like, we don't, like, he needs to show us that he actually works out. Like, LeBron, we know you work out. We believe you work out. You're one of the greatest players of all time. You don't need to, like, we understand. We get it. You're dedicated to your craft. But, in typical LeBron fashion, he can't help but for us to talk about him. So he'll put himself on his, his own website. That's on Bleacher Report to show his workouts. So you have Kyrie Irving, you have Steph Curry, which is no surprise, mocking him, and it was fun. It's hilarious, to be honest with you. But then out of the corner, you see Kyrie Irving. I'm like, first of all, like, I'm saying to myself, hold on, two things here. Two things are wrong here. Number one, Kyrie Irving just lost to Golden State and Steph Curry in the finals. But more importantly, Kyrie Irving is at the wedding of a UNC Tar Heel. So there's a lot going on at this wedding. So from put LeBron, like, almost put Steph Curry aside, put Harrison Barnes aside for a second. Kyrie Irving has done everything known to man to say to get himself basically ran out of Cleveland. Like, you can't, there's no more he can do to try to trade it. There's no, I mean, he can't do any more. If he, like, you can't, like, you just can't legally without breaking a law, without breaking a law or two. So that's what this is about. It's not even, I don't even think Kyrie Irving dislikes LeBron. I don't think he dislikes, I don't think it's personal. What this is trade me now. Please trade me. I'm going to say and do whatever it takes to get traded. That's all this is. That's all this is. I want out of Cleveland. Period. So it was a LeBron jam-packed weekend, to say the least. Again, from Friday until Sunday, with LeBron James content over the course of the NBA over the course of the weekend. But again, this is what LeBron wants this. The fact that we're talking about him on this show, he craves attention. Third, no, again, there's so much LeBron content, I can't even keep up. Kevin Durant comes out at a camp or at an event and says, somebody's at a camp, and I guess one of the campers, one of the participants asked, is LeBron James a better player than you? And his answer is a quick, nah, 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 son. Now, you want to say to yourself, well, every great NBA player believes that they're the best player in the world. That's not true. Well, every player, that's not true. Kevin Durant is as respectful of LeBron James as anybody. Like, seriously, Kevin Durant sings LeBron James's praises. You ever hear a Kevin Durant interview and him talk about LeBron James? I mean, outside, other than Kobe Bryant, he doesn't talk. He reveres LeBron as much as any player ever. This side of Kobe Bryant and this side of Michael Jordan. But he reveres LeBron James. He worked out with LeBron James a few years back, which I thought was a mistake at the time. A guy who's your rival or who, a guy who you're trying to be better in, he knows your moves. But anyway, so for Kevin Durant to say that is a big deal from the standpoint of, you know, I'm not going to say there's a loss of respect for LeBron James at this point right now in terms of his game. But guys are coming at him that would – you have guys coming at him who wouldn't – you wouldn't even dream of even making comments about him in past years, even if they believed it. So, you know, I just find that interesting. So, again, the Durant – I was taken back by the Durant comment. Even coming off a championship, but coming off a Finals MVP, which he tremendous, where he was just all world in that playoff series and that in the NBA Finals, we know what he did, and was well deserving of the Finals MVP. Again, to come out of his mouth is not something that you expect to hear. But right now, it is take your shots at LeBron season without questioning. 347-215-6180. Is a call number on this base edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back.
So your boy's name is what?
Is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. Another guy who cannot stay out of the news and who not kind of loves it and craves attention is LeVar Ball. Now, LeVar Ball, to no one's surprise, disrespected another female. Shocker. This happened at an AAU game. Yeah, he was coaching. Over the weekend. Apparently, you know, got a technical foul from the official. Made some comments to the young lady. About just again typical LeVar Ball stuff. Not ready for this. Some, you know, so on and so on. But that's what he does. The part that people should be incensed by, not in terms of what he said, but the reaction of the Adidas officials to have that official removed and replaced based on LeVar Ball's actions, based on his actions, and based on his basically did everything but demand. That the official should be replaced. So again, there have been a number of occasions in regards to LeVar Ball in which we just look at what he does or what he says instead of looking at what can be controlled in regards to the coverage of LeVar Ball and the attention that he gets. Like, LeVar Ball doesn't put microphones in his face. Like, there was a period over the course of the summer, or even up leading up to the draft, where he was on, you know, every network, like every day, being interviewed. Somebody putting the microphone in his face. That part is not LeVar Ball's fault. Like, nobody, honestly, that's not his fault. This situation, despite how ignorant and sexist he was, it's not his fault, because Adidas, again, did not have to pull the official. As a matter of fact, should not have pulled the official based on the LeVar Ball's, again, comments, or based on him demanding. Like, you don't, like, the LeVar Ball is one person who doesn't need to be empowered. But again, this is the part of the LeVar Ball narrative that doesn't get enough attention. When you empower him and when you constantly add fuel to the fire, This guy does not he doesn't need a match, to be honest. We don't need, again, to constantly feed the LeVar Ball machine. He does that pretty well himself. So you can complain about him. He is sexist. He says some dumb stuff. You know, he's nonstop, 24/7. You wish he would shut up. He's not gonna shut up. You should be past that point. But again, there are things that can be controlled in regards to LeVar Ball in terms of the media, in terms of other sources that just continue to empower LeVar Ball and continue to add to the LeVar Ball monster. And the LeVar Ball narrative. Again, there's some things about LeVar Ball that I frankly don't have a problem with. Whether it's marketing, whereas, you know, listen, I've said some things about him as far as, you know, he has three sons that are going to be in college. One is going to be in the NBA. The other is one of the best high school players in the country. So he's doing something right from that standpoint, as a father. And again, says a lot of dumb stuff. Does a lot of stuff for attention, 24/7, look at me, so on and so on. But again, this is type of situation that could have been handled, and he had no control of it, no control over it, zero. He should not have, by any stretch, had any impact on who the official of that AAU game was. Zero. He should have had zero say in that. So, again, you can point your finger at him all you want, but this situation, to me, was more about Adidas and not about LeVar Ball. 347-215-6180 is the call number. When we return, we'll talk about power and much, much more in this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Like a 70s KYW RP in Cincinnati type feel to it. That you guys probably don't remember. The people might only remember that show, KYW RP in Cincinnati. One of those 80s shows with a couple familiar names on it. But speaking of shows, as we get into the world of pop culture, Power last night, or depending on when you watch it. A lot of people watch it in the morning. You had that, you know, move. You had that old shit episode last night in regards to there was the high body count. You had no Angela or any other law team, the government team, for the first time all season. I can't remember the last time there was no. I can't remember the last episode. There have been, 34 episodes all together through the course of 3.5 seasons now. I don't know if there's ever been an episode with no Angela. That might be the first episode without Angela. Maybe first or second. I can't think of that. She's been, you know, because basically she, along with Amoya Hardwick, is the star of the show. So you had no Angela, 50 Cent, Kanan, Tommy were basically your focus. In regards to Kanan and 50 Cent, well, not 50 Cent, Kanan, Ghost and Kanan, 50 Cent and Kanan are the same person. I didn't have a major problem. I don't see how you can have a major problem with it. I know a lot of people are complaining. And by the way, you haven't watched the episode, probably want to turn off the show for the next at least 2 minutes or so. If you haven't seen the show as of yet, because it's going to be some serious, it's going to be some major spoilers for episode seven, excuse me, episode six. But I can't see how anybody can complain about, well, Ghost, you know, should have killed Tommy. Ghost should have killed Kanan. Kanan should have killed Ghost. The bottom line is, if Ghost wanted Kanan dead, he would have killed him, you know, years ago. He would have killed him. Well, he thought he had killed him in that warehouse at the end of season two, but he could have killed him even before, you know, in the backstory. You know, how he had him sent to jail instead of killing him. He could have killed him then. So I don't think there was any desire forever over the course of that episode in terms of Ghost killing Kanan. You want to say, well, Kanan should have killed Ghost based on the fact that, you know, he's portrayed as this cold-blooded killer. We saw it. I mean, he's killed two family members, so he is a cold-blooded killer. He killed his son and killed his first cousin. So this guy is a maniac. He killed an old lady. So they've been consistent in terms of how crazy Kanan is. Kanan's great. Kanan's crazy. But you think about it. He goes into that scene. The house. First of all, I don't think he ever had any intention from the start, from even the end of last season, of killing Tyreek. I really don't. That was a Jukebox thing. Jukebox wanted to kill Ghost and Tyreek and take all the money. That was Jukebox, you know, and this is how, like, vicious and cold Jukebox was. Jukebox wanted revenge for Kanan more than I think Kanan wanted revenge for himself. To be honest with you, I think she was more incensed by Ghost putting Kanan in jail for 10 years than the actual guy who had to do the 10 years in jail, which was Kanan. So, she was looking out for Kanan's best interest from that standpoint. But I don't ever think Kanan wanted to kill Tyreek. And if you go in there, if you shoot Ghost, you have to shoot Tyreek. You can't leave Tyreek, because Tyreek, what, 15, 16 years old on the show, or 14 years old. He's going to grow up to be a man. He has some Ghost tendencies as it is. He's going to kill Kanan, which I still think is on the table right now. Like, that's my prediction. My predictions have changed from the start of the season. I thought Tommy would go, and I thought there would be a Ghost Kanan showdown in season five. Now I feel like Kanan is either going to get killed or they're going to find a way to write him off and him go away and maybe come back for season six. Because they're going to, 50 Cent has already come out and said through a couple of outlets that they're more than likely going to go six or seven seasons. But they're not going to stop at five. So it'll be six or seven seasons. So maybe they bring him back for season six. If they go seven, maybe they bring him back for season seven. But Dre, to me, you know, Dre is the guy, to me, who I'm predicting that Dre kills Tommy, because Dre is they're grooming Dre to be the new Ghost. I feel that you're gonna have a Ghost Dre showdown in season five. I feel like you have a Ghost Dre showdown in season five. Now again, a lot, you know, you have what? Let me see, seven, eight, nine, four episodes left. Still a lot of story left. Angela, I feel like Angela's gonna find out. Is going to bust, I can't think of the name right now, the guy who shot Greg, can't think of his name right now, I should know his name, but I think Angela, I think that showdown is coming up, and how they're going to bring Tommy and Ghost back together will be interesting. I don't see any, like, they've already done the whole Tommy wanted to kill Ghost, that storyline is done. So, again, more than likely it's going to be Tommy and Ghost, you know, trying to just navigate, Ghost helping Tommy trying to navigate becoming, running the whole show. So I can see that. And they also have a storyline, which I think is a waste. The whole Stern Ghost storyline, I'm kind of tired of that storyline. So I think that's just, like, Simon Stern, I mean, you know, I think anybody that's watched Power has had enough of Simon Stern. I mean, come on. Like, that storyline to me has been a waste. Wayne goes to be the face of his company because he's that, you know, because he's black. Like, that storyline to me is, I've had my fill of that. So, but my predictions, I will stick with these predictions that Kanan dies or goes away. They find a way to write him out. I can't even see Tyreek killing Kanan. Dre kills Tommy. Ghost and Tommy. Ghost and Dre have a showdown season 5. I also think, too, that Lala, her time is up in terms of the show. I think I think Tasha might take, Tasha could take out Lala. I think I would think Tasha and Tommy would kind of be like, look, Tasha would kind of take that burn off Tommy, like, hey, listen, I don't want you to have to kill another female. I'll take it. So I could see that. I could definitely see that happening. Tasha taking out Lala. That's on the table. So it should be a fun next 4 episodes. Again, a lot of story to go, still a lot of story to be told. Game of Thrones, and again, I'm not going to get too heavy into Game of Thrones. Right? We just don't have enough time. But another classic episode. They've had 3 classics to start out this season. Every episode has been must watch, even though the storylines are moving fast. They can't get rid of Cersei after this season. Like, they have to keep Cersei for the remainder of the show. Next season is going to be Game of Thrones last season. You cannot get rid of Cersei. The character, she's too good. The character's too good. I mean, Cersei is like, you can't get rid of her character. You can't. Shout out to Jon Snow for not bowing down to Daenerys. I'm like, why? Like, kings don't bow down to queens. That's not how it works. Now, again, you want to call me a sexist for that? I don't think that's a sexist statement. But king, yeah, you're a king. You're not putting, I'm not taking, if I'm a king, I'm not kneeling to a queen. I'm sorry. So I was with Jon Snow 100%. Like, what? I'm a king in my own right. I'm not a servant. I'm not, you know, I'm not a court jester here. I'm not a soldier. I'm a king. I'm the king of the North. I'm going to bow down to you. I fought White Walkers and you know, wildlings and been stabbed. Like, what? I'm bowing down. So shout out to Jon Snow for that, man. No way not to go out like a sucker. But Game of Thrones has been on point. 3 straight episodes of just classics, of classics. Only 4 episodes left. They're only doing 7 episodes this season, so we'll see what happens moving forward. When we return, we will wrap up the program. Quick break on this latest edition of the Cyril Joaquin Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. After the 9 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast, a big announcement. I'm glad I almost forgot it, but I would have been kicking myself had I forgotten it. I'm going to do my very first live broadcast, remote broadcast, August 12th, Saturday morning. It's for a great cause, the Next Level Back to School 5K Run. It will be at the Georgetown Waterfront, 3401 Water Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. It is for back-to-school course supplies. We're trying to set our young scholars up for success moving into this 2017-2018 school year. Amazingly, you know, if you're an educator, you know, depending on what school you are down in this area, you're either in training or school is coming up soon. So we want to set our scholars back to college, back to school on the right foot. If you want to donate, all proceeds are going to go towards donations as far as school supplies and students' needs for the upcoming school year. If you want to donate, you can go to the website DC Back to School 5K.itsyourrace.com. Now, I know that's a lot. That is a lot. There's a lot. But I will post it on my website again, DCBackToSchool5K.itsyourrace.com. Next Level Foundation. I will be out there. I'm not gonna run, but I'll be out there. Might have to have an ambulance out there if I try to run 5K. I'll try to run a 5K race. I could definitely walk 5K. run? Nah. But I'll be out there again, it'll be the Georgetown waterfront. Hopefully the weather will cooperate. 3401 Water Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. I hope to see you out there. I will post the link repeatedly between now and August 12th. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. Have a great evening. So long.